Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Caroline Seymour. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Lori A. Leslie, MD, Assistant Professor, Hackensack Meridian School of Medicine, Director of Indolent Lymphoma and Chronic Lymphocytic Leukemia Research Programs at John Thurer Cancer Center, about the FDA approval of pirtobrutinib in mantle cell lymphoma. On January 27, 2023, the FDA approved pirtobrutinib, a non-covalent reversible BTK inhibitor, in patients with MCL previously treated with a BTK inhibitor. The regulatory decision was based on findings from the Phase 1-2 Bruin trial, in which the agent led to an objective response rate of 51% in BTK pretreated patients and 82% in BTK naive patients. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Leslie discussed the significance of this approval, key efficacy and safety findings from Bruin, and potential treatment sequencing strategies in patients with resistance to covalent BTK inhibitors. First question. What will be the significance of the FDA approval in this population, and how do you see it affecting or affirming current practice patterns?
In my opinion, mantle cell lymphoma is a very challenging subtype of lymphoma to treat, just because it's a very heterogeneous type of disease, and many patients may be older with comorbid conditions. Once a patient's relapsed, really the standard of care is to use our covalent BTK inhibitors, which includes the currently FDA-approved ibrutinib, acalabrutinib, or zanubrutinib. I think the approval of pirtobrutinib, which is a non-covalent BTK inhibitor and may work differently or has a different mechanism of action than our currently covalent FDA-approved options, will really be transformative for many patients, as the data from the Bruin study show even patients who have progressed on prior covalent BTK inhibitors may respond to pirtobrutinib. So it will serve as a new line of therapy, a new treatment option for patients who have already received our currently available therapies.
How would you say that this agent might compete with Brexucel in BTK refractory patients, if at all?
One main question that we'll have with pirtobrutinib's approval is how to sequence our therapies. And currently in patients who are relapsing on BTK inhibitor, a covalent BTK inhibitor, the standard of care is to consider Brexucel CAR T-cell therapy as the next line. And I think in this space, the experience of being on CAR T-cell therapy is very different than experience being on a daily medication that patients take, you know, until they have unacceptable toxicity or progression. So I think the majority of patients who are CAR T-cell candidates, at least when first available, will probably still go to CAR T-cell therapy just because the approach is slightly different in that it's an upfront investment for potential long-term treatment-free interval. However, I think as we continue to investigate pirtobrutinib in different settings, even earlier line settings or combination therapy, those sequencing questions may be better defined over the next few years.
Are there any notable differences in safety between the BTK inhibitors that are worth pointing out?
So the currently approved BTK inhibitors that are covalent BTK inhibitors, including ibrutinib, acalabrutinib, and zanubrutinib, have not been compared head-to-head in mantle cell lymphoma, nor have they been compared with pirtobrutinib, which is our non-covalent BTK inhibitor. So there's no head-to-head data to be able to draw conclusions regarding comparative toxicity. Looking at pirtobrutinib individually, though, some of the AEs of interest across BTK inhibitors include cardiac toxicities and hypertension, atrial fibrillation, and the rates of these events in pirtobrutinib in the Bruin study are relatively low, which makes us encouraged that this will be a well-tolerated treatment option for many of our patients.
And is there any ongoing or planned research with BTK inhibitors in lymphoma that you'd like to highlight?
There is a lot of research going on with both covalent and non-covalent pirtobrutinib included BTK inhibitors across lymphomas. I think the general landscape is moving these agents to the frontline setting in patients with high-risk disease. Particularly with mantle cell lymphoma, those are patients with P53 abnormality, where we know chemoimmunotherapy, even intensive therapy with transplant, does not lead to long-term remissions for patients with P53 abnormal mantle cell. I think some other comparative studies are going on, looking at covalent versus non-covalent treatment with BTK inhibitors in earlier lines of mantle cell lymphoma, as well as combination therapy with BCL2 inhibitors, CD20 antibodies, among other agents, including CAR T-cell therapy.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and OncLive SOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.